This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark, and today I'm speaking to Dato' Lu Li Lian, CEO of Invest Penang. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for inviting me.
So Invest Penang has been around since 2004, so you will be celebrating 15 years this year. What have you managed to achieve so far?
Invest Penang, we are a state agency for the government of Penang. We are a one-stop center for foreign and local investments. So we support and facilitate investors at all stages of their investment process, including working with the federal government for incentives and approval. We facilitate the construction, selection of site, and also post-commencement of the operations. So as a state agency, we also provide policy advocacy to support the state's economic policies.
So one of your biggest remits, of course, is to bring in companies, both local and foreign, to set up shop, invest in your state. What would you say are your targets heading into 2020?
Penang has always been very strong. Well, the twin engine of growth for us is manufacturing and services. So manufacturing has traditionally been contributing about 45 to 50% of the state's GDP, and the remaining is in services. So for manufacturing, our core activities are in the E&E sector, electronic and electrical, the semiconductor, and the offshoot of that has been in LED, EMSs, the machine and equipment manufacturing, and lately, we've done very well in medical devices as well. In services, over the last 10 years, we've done very well with global shared services. We have traditionally attracted companies who are in the manufacturing sectors. In the last 10 years, they moved the center of excellence in, say, IT, in HR, finance, supply chain management, engineering services, to be near where their manufacturing operations is. And that has grown in the last 10 years. And we have also moved into the knowledge center of excellence, engineering services. We've moved also into third-party outsourcing companies, like we have Luxoft. Tesla, for example, came in last year. For the finance operations outside, all the finance operations outside of the US are all done in Penang. So that's one of our pride.
Okay. And have you set a target for 2020, say perhaps a number of companies that you plan to bring in or a percentage growth of industries?
Investment figures fluctuate, and most of the companies, when they do an investment project, the figures usually last for about 5 years. So we're happy to see we're continuously bringing in positive figures. But more importantly, we want to bring in quality investments.
And how do you define a quality investment then?
Let's look at the global shared services. We're moving from transactional to analytics, knowledge-driven, and say upstream to design work. That's the kind of activities that we want to be promoting. In manufacturing, in the future, we're looking for regional hubs for design and development in areas of, say, high-value engineering solutions, test services. We're looking for leading producers for IoT solutions and services. We're looking for state-of-the-art manufacturing centers, high-tech machines and equipment, adopting IoT, robotics. So those are the value chain that we are looking at.
Okay, so you've mentioned manufacturing, and of course manufacturing is a significant contributor to Penang's GDP. However, there has been some news recently that MNCs are moving out of the state. So some factories in Penang are downsizing due to the slowing economic growth as well as demand. How are you planning to address that?
I think in the manufacturing and especially in the semicon and E&E, there's always been a cyclical movement. Mm. We have had a super boom of the semicon industry for the last 3 years, 4 years. And we've predicted that 2019 would be a slowdown of that super cycle. Mm. Now, coupled with the US-Chinese trade war, the immediate term for us would be a global economic slowdown. And we are seeing that effect right now. There hasn't been any news of companies shutting down. There has been some slowdown, maybe factories shutting number of days and capacity, some layoff. Mm. But while we see that the big picture is quite challenging, we see that pocket of opportunities for us in the mid to long term.
And what are those opportunities? Because, you know, you've said that you predicted that 2019 would be a slower year. So what strategies do you have in place to maintain your investment numbers?
Well, we're seeing growing interest from investors from China and the US who are looking to invest here in Penang. We don't think that, you know, with these uncertainties, we think that there may be delayed decisions by companies, but we don't think that the tech companies will stop investing in total, right? Especially so now when the world is an inflection point and we see new innovations such as the 5G, Industry 4.0, all the AIs and IoT, autonomous driving, the AR, VRs, all this are at an inflection point that it would take off. And the global semicon and semicon equipment sales are forecasted to return to the positive growth at 2020 after a dip in 2019. So against this backdrop and with our Malaysia's pro-business government and Penang's very robust supply chain infrastructure talent pool that we have, I think we are well positioned to attract some of this potential investment. Of course, there are other countries that are also competing for these investments, like mm-hmm. Especially like Vietnam and Thailand. But regardless of this, we think that the multinationals now are re-strategizing, possibly diversifying into other geographical footprint. Right? So what are the angles of opportunities that we think would help us? One, the FDIs that are diversion from by the MNCs, some of the multinationals that are shifting the supply chain out of China, and also some Chinese companies who are looking to relocate to prevent the loss of access to the Chinese market, to the US market. And for all these opportunities, again, we are very focused on quality strategic investments with high economic impact.
But how will Penang position itself to compete with companies like, as you mentioned, Vietnam, which are booming in terms of the manufacturing sector? What is it that would attract an MNC to come and set up shop in Penang as opposed to doing so in Vietnam?
I would say the supply chain and the ecosystem that we have established. Our supply chain and ecosystem is over 50 years old. We have very strong industry clusters. We have, for example, engineering support industries are able to provide specialty and also integrated systems. Strong talent pool, and Penang has a very intense talent upskilling activities. Good infrastructure, good IP protection, competitive cost of doing business, and a very pro-business government. I think the type of investments that we are looking at compared to Vietnam is a bit different. So I always tell my investors, if you are looking for 10,000 direct labors, if you're looking for, you're very cost sensitive, you probably would find countries like Thailand and Vietnam to be very suitable. But in Malaysia and in Penang, we attract companies who are higher in the value chain, who probably have about 40% of their employees in the tech sector, in the engineering sector. The capabilities to do design work, supply chain management. So that is the sweet spot that we're in. And if you compare Malaysia against, say, Taiwan, Singapore, Japan, Korea, we are a lot cheaper than them in terms of costs.
So regarding Penang's talent upskilling programs, you know, Penang has been attracting quite a lot of a significant number of tertiary education graduates. Net migration inflows into Penang are positive. Mm-hmm. But one of the issues that has been highlighted is that jobs in the manufacturing sector in particular are going unfilled for much longer than in other sectors, such as in the services industries. Is there a mismatch happening here?
We have a large demand for engineering talent. Unfortunately, I think the graduate output for engineering courses have been declining. Not in Penang, but throughout the whole country. And therefore, we do a lot of activities to try to instill the interest in science and technology among school kids. We go down to even primary school levels to do all kinds of interesting science program to help them to keep their interest in science. Mm. The other factor is that countries like Singapore consistently comes and push our students and even our young talent. So that brain drain is also quite an impact on us, right? We have a Penang Future Foundation scholarship program,
right,
by the state, where we give scholarships for students in particular in science, in engineering, and in finance. And so for all Malaysians in the local universities. But the scholarship recipients have to come back to Penang to work. And that are few of the programs or initiatives that we do to try to attract talent into Penang.
Mm. So you have programs in place kind of to cover both the short, the medium and the long term in Penang, programs with children. That's something at least 7, 8, 10 years
yes,
into the future.
Yes.
So I'm curious also as to how you are finding investors' long-term view of not just Penang, but of Malaysia as well. I mean, are racial and religious issues a factor when it comes to influencing MNC's decisions to come and invest here in Malaysia?
I think the investors appreciate the diversity of Malaysians. They also appreciate that Malaysians are all very hardworking.
Mm.
They appreciate the fact that we speak English. One of the factors that that we find continuously challenging is that the neighboring countries are offering very good investment packages. So that is the area that we are working with MIDA and continuously feeding back to MIDA and MITI of the competition that we're getting from other countries in terms of incentives to attract the investors.
Okay. I've been speaking to Datuk Lu Li Lian, CEO of Invest Penang, on The Breakfast Grill today. In just a little while, we'll talk more about Penang's manufacturing sector as well as their interactions with the federal government. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Datuk Lu Li Lian, CEO of Invest Penang. So earlier we spoke a little bit about the impact from the US-China trade war on the state, as well as a slowing global economy. But now I'd like to just turn us a little bit towards a regional trade agreement known as the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement on Trans-Pacific Partnership. So Malaysia has not ratified it, despite being one of the key drivers of the formation of the agreement, whereas countries like Vietnam and Singapore have. Do you think that this will hurt our ability to compete with these other countries?
So, Lin, right now, We're not seeing that. We're still waiting for the FDA, more clarity about the FDA and how that would impact us. But right now, it's still business as usual for us.
Mm. Has the federal government reached out to you in any way to discuss this?
I think that FDA discussion is really very much in the federal level. Mm. The state is not involved in that discussion.
Okay.
Though I think they do get inputs from the industry and the businesses on how that might impact them.
Mm. Speaking of industries, I do understand that Penang is looking to diversify its manufacturing sector a little bit. But are you looking to move up the value chain, for example, to encourage more research and development to be done within Penang?
Oh, yes, Lynn. Many of our companies now do have the R&D capabilities and R&D centres within the organisation. We have companies that are running totally the R&D activities in Penang, manufacturing somewhere else. But we're continuously looking for the higher value companies, R&D in the digital space, like mm-hmm. I say, IoT and the smart manufacturing. So, and we do encourage our investors to at least have 30% knowledge workers and R&D workers, because if you don't have that, you are not optimizing the capabilities of the engineering talent that's available in Penang.
And what about your services industry? So it did overtake manufacturing as the number one contributor to state GDP over the last few years. But the conversation does seem to be mainly on the manufacturing sector in Penang. Theoretically, what's stopping Penang from becoming a financial hub, for example, like Singapore?
Financial hub, we probably will never be the financial hub mm-hmm. because we're a second-tier city. And we can't compete with KL on that. In terms of, for example, direct flights, we don't have that many direct flights to Penang. And that is one of the challenges that we have. To be a financial hub, you need to be accessible to the rest of the world. So in terms of services, in addition to the services that supports the manufacturing, so we have the global shared services, the, say, logistics services, the engineering services, we do have the F&B and the hospitality services. That's also grown tremendously over the last couple of years, and especially when we have the UNESCO heritage site. So we have attracted many tourists from within Malaysia and also from abroad. Medical tourism is another industry that we are promoting. Penang captures close to about 60% of the medical tourism that comes into Malaysia. So that's another area that we're promoting.
I see. And so Malaysia has been seeing a nationwide trend towards deindustrialization, so the shift away from the manufacturing sector towards a more service-oriented economy. But with all the money and investment going into the manufacturing sector in Penang, how would you mitigate any losses that might stem from this trend? Is this something that you are hedging against going forward?
I think that shift has happened in Penang.
Right.
We started off with very low manufacturing, very low-end manufacturing, very labor-intensive manufacturing. But we have moved up the value chain. So we've moved up in terms of technology, in terms of products, in terms of value creation that our manufacturing sectors produce. We seek to have convergence with services. So we're not just purely manufacturing. That structure change has continuously happened in Penang, and it would continuously happen as companies evolve. To us, manufacturing is brick and mortar. And any services that comes with manufacturing, I think it's more sustainable than just purely just services. So R&D, for example, activities, most companies prefer to locate them within or near to the manufacturing site rather than just R&D that's remote from manufacturing. I think even though the country tries to move more into services, I think the manufacturing sector should still be our core economic activity.
Mm. And I'd like to know also how Invest Penang works with the federal government and other state bodies like Invest Selangor or Invest KL. Is it a competition to see who brings in the most investment into the state?
We traditionally work very closely with MIDA and MDEC. Mm. MIDA for the manufacturing services, for the manufacturing industries and manufacturing investors, and MDEC for the service investors. So that relationship would continue. Unfortunately, the state IPAs do not work that closely together.
Mm.
You know, could be competition, but...
So there is competition?
But I believe every state has its own unique advantage. And the country or MIDA should, we should look at exploiting or making use of the advantage of each state.
But would you be in direct competition with, say, Invest Selangor, for example? Because Selangor has, within Selangor, there is Klang, there's Shah Alam. We have significant kind of industrial and manufacturing areas here as well. Are you in competition with those state arms?
I think the investors are very smart. I know they, when they come to see us, they know each state's competitive advantage. I sell Penang the best way I can, and I'm sure Invest Selangor sells Selangor the best way they can, and we leave it to the investors to decide.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show, Dato. It was a pleasure to have you.
So thank you, Lynn. I just want to also end by reminding your listeners that Penang is not just about work. We're known for our beautiful beaches and our hills, and of course, our glorious food. So an investor named us as an island where we have the romance of the past and the power to the future, because we create a lot of IP and a lot of tech as well. So do come to Penang to visit us.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for having me in the show.
Thank you so much. That was Dato' Lu Li Lian, CEO of Invest Penang. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run here on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Barula Bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.